Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you gave us the scripture of the Old Testament for us to learn and believe. Through Moses and all the prophets, you spoke about the Christ coming and his suffering. Increase in us the desire to know your word, so we will come to know more of you and the Son, Christ Jesus our Lord, along with the indwelling Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads. Their heads were hung low, and their hearts were hurting, deeply hurting, and questions go unanswered. Questions go unanswered in your mind, and you're kicking up dust aimlessly as you drag your feet, pointlessly as you head down the road, and bits and pieces of conversation pass between you and your friend Cleopas. Sometimes silence is better than speaking. Yet the questions compel you to utter your thoughts, twirling and swirling in your mind out loud. And so you turn to your friend. Can you believe what Mary said? What Peter and John saw in the tomb? Seems strange for the grave clothes to be just lying there. Now don't forget the burial cloth neatly folded up by itself. John says he believes. How is that possible? The chief priest had Jesus crucified. He died. He was buried in Joseph's tomb. Even Nicodemus helped prepare the body. And the stone was rolled to seal the tomb. Mary said the woman found the stone rolled away. Kicking up more dust as you shuffle your feet down the road, your pace is slow. As you are walking with your friend, another comes walking along the road, heading in the same direction as you, but at a faster pace than yours. And so this one catches up to you, this traveler catches up to you and walks with you a while and then turns and asks, "What are you discussing as you travel together?" That just stops you where you are. You just stop and you stand still and you're staring for a moment at the stranger, to look intently at him before answering. "You just came from Jerusalem. Don't you know what happened there? The things that took place these past few days?" "What things?" And so you get a little exasperated and you just, "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet. He was powerful in words and deeds before God. All the people saw this to be true." And so shaking your head in sadness, and you recall that fateful moment. Yet the chief priests and Pharisees and others handed him over to the sentence of death. And he was crucified. Silence just fills the moment, till a gentle breeze blows by, stirring up more words. "We hoped he would redeem Israel." Women in this morning said Jesus' tomb was empty. They didn't find his body. The woman had a vision of angels with the message of Jesus was alive. Others ran to the tomb and found it empty, just as the woman said. But they did not see Jesus. So the stranger replies, "Foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. They wrote the Messiah had to suffer these things to enter his glory." Hearing these words, in one way they were stinging words, yet another way, words that just drew you closer to this traveler. You wanted to know more. Asking, you turn and ask him, "Walk with us. Tell us more. Tell us how the prophets have spoken about the Messiah, how Moses wrote, how the Messiah had to suffer to enter his glory." And so a little different feeling starts in your feet as you begin down the dusty road again, as this traveler with you begins with Moses. Then into all the prophets, the fellow traveler shows you from the Scripture, explaining everything about the Messiah, the anointed Christ, would suffer and die through the piercing of the body and the shedding of the blood. Redemption would come to all who believe. Eternal life would be theirs, just as Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, what would it have been like to have been on that road to Emmaus all those years ago? To hear Jesus speak about himself in all that was written in the Word of God from the books of Moses through the prophets. Simply amazing would have been that walk through the Word of God on that walk to Emmaus. Such a testimony that all the books of the Old Testament are the Word of God. Here, Jesus, the risen Son of God, is showing from the Word of God the why of all that took place. Jesus had to die. Jesus had to rise. Does this conversation on the road to Emmaus awake in you wonder and amazement for the Word of God? Does the way Jesus speak about Moses and all the prophets awaken in you the understanding that these words are not words of men, but are words breathed by God? Does this walk on the road show you that to understand the New Testament, you need to know the Old Testament? Not only the words written in the Old Testament, but also believe what is written, what Moses and all the prophets spoke. Now, I don't understand why Cleopas and the others were kept from recognizing Jesus as they walked on that road. Perhaps it was so this very conversation could take place, listening to how Jesus was revealed through all the Old Testament. For example, a few from Moses. God speaking to the serpent in the desert. God speaking to the serpent in the Garden of Eden after the fall. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And then there's God speaking to Abram when he was called to leave Ur to go to the promised land. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Then there's when Israel was camped and invaded by the poisonous serpents after they spoke against God, detesting the precious daily gift of manna. Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked up at the bronze snake, he lived. Deuteronomy chapter 18 has the promise of a prophet to come. Moses wrote, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him." This is no different than what Jesus said during his public ministry. Recall from the Gospel of John, it is recorded Jesus saying, John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?" Let's turn to the prophets. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8, "All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." A little while later, Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18. "Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." Or from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. I bring you back to what Jesus said as he was walking along that road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses. Luke chapter 24, verse 26. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? The New International Version, which I just read, does not bring out, as it should, the divine necessity. The divine necessity as well as the New American Standard. This is the New American Standard of Luke 24, verse 26. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? The word there that's translated necessary, or Christ have to, the word necessary is that D again, that divine necessity. This is how the This is how the Enhanced Strong Lexicon describes the meaning of the word D, that word there. Necessity established by the counsel and decree of God, especially by that purpose of which relates to the salvation of men by the intervention of Christ in what is disclosed in the Old Testament prophecies. Divine necessity. Christ necessity had to suffer to enter into his glory. I now bring you to 1 Peter, our reading this morning, to help you make more of this connection in your mind and in your heart. Why it was necessary for Jesus the Christ to suffer and die. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 21. Hear it again. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last days for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. The empty way of life is that inherited, fallen life found in us due to original sin in us. This original sin in us is from conception and is the state in which we were born. The only remedy, the only way of redemption out of this fallen state is by the precious blood of Christ. Hence, that is the divine necessity of the suffering of Christ. Chosen from before creation, established by the counsel and decree of God. This is how I will redeem. Through my own Son being broken and pierced. Through Jesus, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead. Notice that resurrection is absolutely connected to this. The resurrection is the emphasis. This redemption was fully paid. He raised from the dead, glorified Jesus, so that your faith and hope are in God. Jesus, Christ, the perfect Lamb without blemish, suffered and died for you, for your sake. The penalty, the ransom, the debt of sin was paid in full. And the proof is that Jesus rose from the dead. The suffering was necessary. His death was necessary to bring you salvation. That is what the prophets spoke about. That is what Moses spoke about. Do you see the great love God has for you? Love expressed all through the Old Testament. Love in the book of Moses and all the prophets. It is no wonder Cleopas and the others said, Luke 24, verse 32, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Hearts burning, hearing this love and salvation through the suffering of Christ. As Cleopas and his friend approached the village, Jesus acted as he was going farther. They urged Jesus to stay with them. It's nearly evening. Come and stay. Jesus went in with them, and during the meal, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Cleopas' eyes were opened. His friend's eyes were opened. And Jesus disappeared from right before them. The word recognized really means to know and understand. It was the breaking of the bread. They came to know this is Jesus. Alive! They came to know him through the breaking of the bread. I don't know why God opened their eyes at the breaking of the bread, but this is what I lean towards, that it just might be that we see the love of God most clearly in the suffering and breaking of the body of Christ and the piercing, bringing the shedding of his blood for our redemption. It is there, the suffering of Christ, we see most clearly the love of God for us, sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. This is just an amazing verse. I encourage you to commit it to memory. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Could you imagine being that friend with Cleopas and your heart just burning as Jesus, Son of God, risen Lord, shows through the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, from Moses, Genesis, all the way through all the prophets, why he had to suffer? It was for you, for your forgiveness, to redeem you from the sin of the fall. He showed you his great love. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. See that in the breaking of the bread. See that in the blood of the cup. Because it's for you. For you. The love of God. Wow. Forgiven. For those of you who receive the bread and wine this morning, I pray you experience that love of God. For the confirmants at the end of next month, May 28th, as you receive communion for the first time, I pray you experience that love of God. Because it's for you. It's for you. The Christ had to suffer for you. Now that you know this, may your eyes be opened. And you know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And worship. Worship. With all the love you can give back. Because the Father loves you. You can see it in the broken body of the Son and the shedding blood, the blood shed of the pierced Son of God. God demonstrated his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And as he rose, you who believe will rise and live forever. That is such good news. How can you not be excited and full of joy and love and life in Jesus' name? Amen.